grateful, God, that we have the opportunity to be with you in this good congregation. And it's going to be refreshing to us, I know. And I thank the elders also for inviting us, along with Byron. And if there's anything we can do while we're here, if you would like for us to make a visit into your home or someone else's home, if you would request that, or a Bible study. I'm not just here for the evening service. If I can be of service in any way during the week, during the day, I'll be glad to do any kind of work that you want me to do. I want to talk in this part of the service on the subject of don't lose heart. I've been around the block a few times, and I've seen a lot of people that have lost heart. I've seen a lot of people that were strong at one time, and they're not strong today. I've seen elders fall. I've seen preachers fall. I've even seen myself at times become weaker, and I didn't, of course, enjoy that at all. But I want to talk to you about a subject that there's a lot in the Bible about it. In our text in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, Paul said, "For which cause we faint not." The cause of Christ, he says, we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. In the New King James Version, it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." So we can say it either way. Don't lose heart and do not become weak, or do not faint, as he said in the King James. The original word for faint means to grow weary. Kind of get tired. Sometimes we say, "I got burnt out." We lose our enthusiasm. And we lose our interest in doing the will of God. And we lose our interest in taking a stand against sin. We grow weary in that. And that's dangerous. I want to say this to you. If you're getting in that particular frame of mind now, you need to do something about that. If you've lost your enthusiasm, you've lost your interest, you've lost the excitement of serving the Lord, there's a danger of you someday falling away. In the 18th chapter of Luke, the record says, "And Christ, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Don't grow weary in prayer. Are you growing weary in prayer? Are you not praying like you used to pray? It's because you've lost heart. Again, I find in 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not," Paul says. We're not losing heart. We're staying in there and serving the Lord. In Galatians 6, verse 9, Paul told the brethren at Galatia, "And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." We just can't grow weary in well-doing. And if we faint, first thing you know, we're going to fall. I find in Ephesians 3, verse 13, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not." Don't faint at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Just because I'm going through suffering, don't faint. If anything, get stronger. Don't get weaker. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." Same thing he said in Galatians 6, 9. In Hebrews 12, verse 3, the Hebrew writer said, "For consider him," and he's talking about Christ,
that had endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Christ stayed in there. He didn't quit. And so He said, use Him as an example. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners. In Hebrews 12, verse 5, for you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. Don't faint. If someone rebukes you for doing something that's wrong, you ought to be thankful for that. I find most of us know an old saying, the old saying of an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That's an old thing we've heard all of our lives. And I want to talk this morning on what I can do and what you can do to prevent fainting, to prevent losing heart. I'm sure that if I were to ask, do you want to lose heart? Do you want to faint? And all of you would say, certainly not. I don't have any desire to grow weary, and I don't have any desire to grow faint. So what can we do to prevent that? We're going to take 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to it, especially verses 8 through about verse 16, and that'll be the basis for our lesson today on the subject of losing heart. And I think this is written to encourage people not to lose heart. In order to keep from losing heart and growing faint, we must develop a strong and vibrant faith, a strong confidence in God, a strong conviction in Christ. I think sometimes we lose sight of that. The apostle, when he wrote to the brethren at Corinth, he said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, Paul said, but not forsaken. Cast down, but we're not destroyed. Then he said in verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. I believe that it's so important that every one of us develop this attitude that I am going to be the strongest believer I can be. Don't let your faith become weak. In Romans verse and chapter 8, the apostle made this statement, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's just like saying, I don't care who's against me. If God is on my side, and I believe as long as I have the faith that I ought to have in my heart, God is going to be with me. Don't you? Certainly He will be with us. Paul said, we walk by faith and not by sight. In Galatians 2, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know why Paul was so strong? He had a strong faith. He had a vibrant faith. He didn't just have a faith that I'm a believer. He proved it by the kind of life that he lived. In Galatians 5, verse 6, Paul wrote, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. But here's what will avail something. A faith which worketh by love. If you want to prevent growing weary and well-doing, if you want to prevent growing faint, you're going to have that kind of faith. The apostle wrote to Timothy, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Are we walking by faith? I believe that we all need to do whatever we need to do to make our faith complete, to make our faith perfect. Is your faith today stronger or is it weaker than it used to be? You've already grown faint. You've already lost heart, if that's true. Have a faith that's stronger. There's a boy at home, and he told me this about his grandmother. He loved his grandmother, and he was talking to her one day. And he told his grandmother, said, "Mother, grandmother, I'm not as close to God as I used to be." And his grandmother said, "Dustin, who moved?" And he said, "I thought about that. I'm the one that moved. God didn't move. God won't move away from you. You can move away from God," and that's what he had done. And he said that statement helped him get back on track. So have as strong a faith as you can possibly develop, and that'll keep you from losing heart. I think another thing that will help us to not lose heart is having a strong hope. Of course, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and we know that's taught in Hebrews 11. Have a strong hope in our resurrection from the dead. In our text in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14, Paul said, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you." I need to constantly be thinking about the hope that I have. I need to be thinking that, you know, this world is not where I'm going to spend eternity. I have the hope of a resurrection. I'm not going to have this body always. I'm going to have another body. The Bible teaches us that He will resurrect us. In John 5, verse 28, I find where Jesus is recorded as saying, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth, they that have done good in the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil in the resurrection of damnation." Paul, writing to the Thessalonian brethren, said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So, if I have a strong, vibrant faith, which causes me to have a strong hope that someday I'm going to be resurrected. My body is getting a lot older, and many of us have illnesses, and our bodies are not like they used to be. But according to the Bible, we're going to be resurrected. And that's what the text is saying. And we should look forward to that. In fact, when Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren, he said, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so, this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. And I need to think of that a lot. I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget that. I don't think of that enough. But I need to be thinking daily. If I were to die today, I have the hope that this body will be changed and will be made an incorruptible body. Paul said, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. in Hebrews 6. The Hebrew writer said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. So let's develop a strong hope. Thirdly, in 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 15, the apostle said, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. I think what Paul is saying here, you will not lose heart, folks, if you will spread the grace of God to God's glory. How many people have we reached lately? How many people have we reached? Did you ever notice that when a person obeys the gospel, as a rule, they're filled with enthusiasm about winning souls? The first thing they want to do is convert all their family if they can. They want to convert their friends. But over the years, being around members of the church that don't have a whole lot of enthusiasm about evangelizing, they lose it. One of the greatest ways to keep from losing heart is to teach the gospel to someone else, saving the soul of someone else. The apostle in his speech to the Ephesian elders was told that if he went to Jerusalem, he would suffer. But he said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul went everywhere preaching the gospel. He went into difficult places. In Athens, that wasn't a popular thing to go into Athens, but he did and converted a lot of people. And he went into difficult places where his life was threatened, but he was spreading the gospel. I believe that to save someone's soul is the greatest way in the world to keep from fainting. I've been trying to preach since I was 19 years old. And the greatest joy I have is to sit down at somebody's table. I prefer that to stand up here. Sit down at the table with my Bible open, and we're going to study. I have a lesson. One lesson that I present. It lasts about an hour. And I talk about the authority of Christ. And I read some passages about Christ having all authority. And His authority is in His Word. His authoritative Word was given to the apostles. I read those passages about that. And I watch the person as I'm talking to them. And I asked them, can't you see that Christ does have all authority? Can't you see that His authority is in His Word? And can't you see that His Word was given to the apostles? And that His authority, of course, His authority is enforced today because of His death and so on. And when I get to the end of the lesson, I asked them, can't you see this is what they did in the first century to become Christians? And they say yes. And then I say, can't you see that's what I would need to do if I want to be a Christian? And they say yes. Can't you see that's what you would need to do if you want to be a disciple of Jesus? And they say yes. And you know what happens? They're baptized. Most of the time. Most of the time they're baptized. That's the greatest joy there is in being a child of God, is leading someone to Christ. One day I presented that lesson to a man at my house about 12 o'clock. And before I got through, he said, yes, RJ, I can see that's what I need to do. I took him down to the building and baptized him. And I said, I'm going to have to present this lesson to another friend, another fellow that I know. And I went over to his house, And within about 2 hours, I was back up the building again baptizing him. And I remember that day, I was happier than I believe I've ever been as a Christian. I told my wife, I tell you, I'd rather do this than anything I can think of. If you haven't saved somebody's soul, you have missed the greatest joy of being a Christian. One of the greatest joys there is. And I tell you what, if you're out saving souls, if you're not saving souls, you're not going to faint. You're not going to grow weary. You'll not lose heart. Because you see the importance of spreading the good news about Christ who died for them. Christ didn't die just for us. He died for the world. And we need to be telling that to the world. I like Paul's attitude. Paul says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run, that you may obtain." James wrote in James 5, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins." And so I want to say, you'll not faint. You'll not lose heart. As long as you're trying to convert those who are out of Christ, and you're trying to convert those who are in Christ who wandered away. Please do that. Incidentally, I have that lesson with me, and I'll make you as many copies as you want of that. And I'll tell you how I present it. Also, in 2 Corinthians, he said, "For which cause we faint not, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." If you don't want to lose heart, you're going to have to daily renew the inner man. In Ephesians 3, Paul said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Oh, how we need to renew our inward man. If you don't, you'll lose heart. You'll grow faint. The inner man includes the mind. It includes the spirit. It includes the heart. And I tell you, I have a difficult time separating them. All I can say that I know that the heart of man, or the inner man, is the mind. It needs to be renewed. The spirit needs to be renewed. The heart needs to be renewed. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, "And now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is charity," or love. Every day for us is a new day. And we have a choice to either renew our inner man or to neglect our inner man. And I know this is true. When I feel weak, I have not renewed the inner man. I believe you can renew the inner man. I would like for you to tell me some things that you think would help you to renew your inner man. But I believe with all of my heart that if I get up every day, and I pray every day, I believe that if I study every day and read His Word, I believe that my inner man will be renewed, and that will keep me from losing heart. Also, the prospect of enjoying an eternal reward in heaven. Back to the text again in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. In the 4th chapter, in verse 16, and 17 and 18, Paul says, "For our light affliction," I've always thought that sounded strange. Nobody suffered like he did. But he called it our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. We look not at the things which are seen, for we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Are we doing that? Do we really want to go to heaven more than anything else? Do we want to spend eternity with Jesus? Do we want to spend the eternity with all of the saints? Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Paul said, "I don't want to compare it. I know I have to suffer. But I know that the glory that I'm going to have in heaven is so much greater. The suffering is worth it all." Paul says, "For if our earthly house of the, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Yes? Philippians 3, Paul says, "For our conversation is in heaven." That's where we're really going. "For whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things to Himself." In the Sermon on the Mount, toward the end of my lesson, I want you to just think about what Jesus said. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." Don't let that be the major thing in life. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Are we doing that? Think with me now about our lesson as we close. I don't want to lose heart. I don't want to faint spiritually. I will not faint if I have an active faith. You will not faint. I will not lose heart if I constantly have a strong hope in the resurrection. Think about it. I will not faint or lose heart if I have a sincere desire to save those souls that are lost in sin. I will not faint if I daily renew my inner man. I will not faint if I have a heart that's set on going to be with Christ. That's where I'm going. And I want to be with all the saints in the heavenly city. Where are you today? In this audience, there are some of you that have never obeyed the gospel. You believe, I'm sure, to a certain extent, but you've not repented. And I say this in all kindness. You're in a lost condition if you refuse to repent. Don't be stubborn about that. Surely you want to go to heaven. Surely you want to be a Christian. You wouldn't be here, all probability, if you didn't have that desire. I plead with you this today to think about, I do believe in Christ, but He told me if I don't repent, I'll perish. You haven't confessed your faith in Christ before man. And yet Jesus said, whosoever confesseth me before men, I will confess before my Father. He hasn't confessed you before his Father if you haven't confessed him. Our Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And you haven't been baptized. Doesn't that bother you? Doesn't that bother you? I didn't tell you to believe. No man has told us to repent. We're not the author of that. We're not the ones who are the author of confessing Christ or being baptized. The Lord said that. And if you haven't done that, you ought to do it. You ought to do it even now. Because you don't have assurance of tomorrow, as you know. And we encourage you to do it today. In this audience, there are probably some of you that have fallen away, and you've lost heart already. You wonder. You know you're not as strong as you used to be. And the Bible clearly teaches us to repent of our sins when we fall away. Acts 8:22. Confess our sins. James 5:16. 1 John 1. Some of you in this audience need to be restored. I said not long ago, I don't know of a time in the history of the church in my life where I think churches all over the country need to be converted again. We have a lot of churches like Ephesus that have lost their first love. We have a lot of churches like Laodicea that's lukewarm. And you can't go to heaven like that. So if you're in the audience this morning, you've been wrestling with that, thinking, I know I need to come back. I know I need to be more committed. Well, why not do it now? Why not do it now? If you need to come, surrender to Jesus while we stand and sing.